open the scripture, 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We'll pick our text from there. Amen. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 verse 7. 1 verse 7. For a text. And this is what he says. This is Apostle Paul, one of the most revelated of all the apostles, concerning the salvation plan of God. That man was revelated. God showed him so many things appertaining to the mystery of salvation, until God even showed him what is awaiting those, hallelujah, that will make it to heaven. And he said, eye has not seen. He could not describe what God showed him. He said, no ear heard. He said, mouth cannot even describe what the Lord has prepared for them that love him. And those who love him, not before mouth, they love him. Those who are ready to live a life pleasing before him. Those who are ready to live a life of sacrifice. No wonder, if you read 2 Corinthians chapter 11, the testimony of Apostle Paul, all that he went through, despite all the difficulties, despite all the trials, the temptations, despite all the risk he passed through in his life, he still could say, what can separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus? There's something he understood about the love of God that God manifested to all of us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And concerning the mystery of salvation, this is what he said in verse 7 of 2 Thessalonians. He said, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. And this is almost 2,000 years ago. Apostle Paul wrote this. He said, right from that time, he said, the mystery of iniquity was already at work. And he added, only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And he who letteth is the Holy Ghost. Until the Holy Ghost is removed, then you will see the fullness of the Antichrist spirit. The fullness of iniquity. Now for the past few weeks now, this is the third week, third sermon, we try to look at those two trees in the Garden of Eden. And we have concentrated on the physical one within the last two sermons. But today we will look at the spiritual side of that mystery of iniquity. I told you those two trees were two loves. Those two trees, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they were two loves. And they were the laws of life and the law of death. And we saw how the law of death was applied. And the law of death was applied through the mystery of iniquity. That is how the human race was perverted. And in the Garden of Eden, in summary, it was not an apple that was eaten. It was a sexual sin between the serpent and the Eve, inspired by Satan. And why was Satan interested in making that animal to have sex with a human being? It's because he also, as God will be having his own children, Satan too wanted to pervert the human nature. By doing what? By injecting animal nature also in the human race. Why? So that he can have his way to display his evil. If human beings can have animal nature in them, one, two things will be achieved. One, the conscience will be dead. We shall act like animals. And secondly, death will come into human beings. And human beings today, we are not supposed to be dying like this. They die because there is something in their body that works death. And human beings, we are now all over behaving like animals. All Satan needs to do is just anoint that animal nature, and you see a human being acting as like an animal. And that separated man from God. And it's a mystery. And then you'll be wondering, why is it not written plainly? Why did he say they ate? I've explained the eating there. Scripturally, I've explained it. That she actually ate. And that the act of sexual sin by a woman in the scriptures is described as an act of eating. Now, Proverbs chapter 13 verse 20 says, such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eateth and wiped her mouth and said she has done no evil. She has eaten and it is called adultery. And the reason, like I said last Sunday, is because among male and female creation, it is only the female creation that has two mouths that she eats from. And I'm sure that is clear. Man has only one mouth he can eat from. But a woman can eat from two mouths. And the mouth that the woman ate from is the mouth she covered when she discovered she was naked. She knows where she ate from. And why is the Bible using this symbolic language? It is because it's not everybody that should understand that revelation. Amen. Hallelujah. And please, you can put up your arguments, but before you switch off, get the tape. Listen, meditate on it. What is the sin that was committed in the Garden of Eden that passes from generation to generation that makes human beings act the way they act? Act like animals, killing one another, doing evil to one another. What is the sin they have committed that has separated them from God? What is the sin that was committed in the Garden of Eden that makes Satan take over, take control of the children of God, creation of God? Is Satan stronger than God? Meditate on it, and you'll soon discover also why Cain is not listed among the children of Adam. And I gave all the scriptures. Praise the Lord. But now, it is a mystery. It's a mystery. And remember, I also tried to prove that that didn't take God by surprise. That God knew that that animal he was creating will lead to the fall of man before he even created the world. We saw it in the scripture that Christ was crucified from the foundation of the world. How? In the mind of God. And he said, this mystery has been hidden from the foundation of the world. God, knowing that what is going to create will fall, before he created it, he made a way for his restoration. That is why he is God. And remember, why does he allow it to happen? The Bible says, who are you, O man, Romans chapter 9, to answer your God to question your God? Why? Because the Bible tells us he created us for his pleasure. And Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 9 says, can the clay challenge the potter? Can the pot challenge the potter? Why did you form me this way? You can't. The clay was there, and the potter came and molded it to what he has in mind to mold it. And he molded it the way he wanted it. And so you cannot challenge God. People who don't have this revelation, they begin to challenge God. Why did you make me so short? You know, short people don't, they think that shortness is a deformity. Shortness is not a deformity. Shortness is a variety. It's a variety. So when you see yourself short, God is a God of variety. And some of you question God, why am I black? I for be Oyibo. No, don't question. You are black because God is a God of variety. He has created the colors. And so he has made you black. He has made another one fair in complexion. And whatever it is, it's for his own pleasure. And anytime you carry bleach and bleach your skin, you are telling God that you have a better idea of creation than God. And it is sin. It is sin for you to bleach your skin. It is sin for you. Anything given to you naturally, maintain. Whatever you do with it is to maintain the beauty of that nature, not to pervert it. That's why it's wrong for a woman to go and palm her hair. Put that chemical there, and you want your hair to look like an American hair. If God wanted your hair to be like American hair, if he born you in a family of Oyibo, it's an abomination for a human being to deface himself. All this idea of going into plastic surgery and then putting nose, chook nose, recarve your nose, recarve, and is you are insulting your maker. He wants your nose, some nose wide. He wants some nose sharp. Some Oyibo nose long and even curved. God created that. It's not a deformity. And when he finished creating man, he saw that all he created was beautiful. Something God called beautiful. You say, you know, fine. Every day you wake up, you see yourself for mirror. You say, okay, God. It's wrong. Ah, may somebody receive deliverance from inferiority complex in the name of Jesus. You should be proud of who you are. You are fulfilling God's purpose. That's why a Christian does not compare himself with anybody. That's why there's no jealousy in Christianity. Do your own, I'm doing my own. Hallelujah. Do you know even those who will be rich and those who will be poor? Do you know that you don't become, one does not become a millionaire because he's hardworking? Those who really, really work hard, they are the servants of the millionaires. It's not. Now, I'm not saying you should just sit down. You have to work normally. And let me tell you, if you be a millionaire, if God has ordained you to be a millionaire, nothing will stop it. If you believe it, let me hear you say amen. And if you have been ordained to be a poor man, no anointing that they will pour on you, no business seminar will ever make you a millionaire. Look, we are not organizing prosperity week so that everybody will become millionaire. We know everybody cannot become a millionaire. But we are saying every true child of God must be comfortable. It's the benefit of Calvary. Hallelujah. I'm trying to explain that nothing comes to God by accident. Everything are the works of his hand. And he does it for a purpose. So he allowed the serpent to tempt Eve for a purpose. He allowed it. He certainly allowed it. He could have stopped it. He could have stopped it. There are some attacks that come upon you that you say, God, why did you allow this to happen? But there are also some attacks that are coming that he will send his angel, and you will see he will wave it away. Now, why did he allow one to come and the other one he drove it away? For his purpose. For his purpose. Because the Bible tells me that the eyes of the Lord runneth to and fro, showing himself mighty on behalf of his children. He that watches over Israel neither sleeps nor slumbers. But then, why did he allow this accident to happen? Why would somebody who just left church and I just finished vigil, I closed from vigil after dry fasting for 3 days, I won't cross a road, motor hit me, bam, the man died. Which kind of church like this he go? Does it mean God couldn't have removed him away from that? If he allowed it, it's for a purpose. All things work together for good. But most importantly is his own purpose in your life. He has a purpose. He has a reason. I have to emphasize that. As we look at the mystery of iniquity, it's a mystery that has been revealed now to us. And that is the reason why you must be born again. Your nature has been tampered with, has been perverted. And this is the state of man now. See a human being, we dress like a mad person on the road, naked herself, woman, we naked herself. I mean, walking in the street. Well, you understand the level of moral decadence now in the society. Praise the Lord. It's Satan that is the architect of all this, and this is what he wanted to achieve. But because God knew it would happen, he also set in motion another mystery called the mystery of godliness. But we are still in the mystery of iniquity. Because the mystery of godliness brought about Jesus Christ. The mystery of iniquity lets us understand why human beings are the way they are now. It's in the Bible. But you won't see this in any bookshop, because it is not meant for everybody. This is only meant for the bride of Jesus Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, if we look at Christ, we have a key there to something. In Romans chapter 5. Let's read Romans chapter 5. As I come across this scripture, I catch a key there that we can just begin to talk from there. Hallelujah. I will read the verse. I will read verse 14. There's a statement in that verse that gave me a key. So I came across it while studying the word. Now verse 14 says, nevertheless, hallelujah. Well, let's even say from verse, let me read it from verse 12 just to get the picture. By my emphasis in verse 14. Verse 12 says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. Now verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned. This is where I'm going. After the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come? This last statement lets me know that Adam was a similitude of he that was to come. Who is that he that is to come? Jesus Christ. Now, so it gives us, if he is a similitude of he that is to come, you have to understand what Christ came for by understanding what was the purpose of Adam. Hallelujah. Now, what happened in the Garden of Eden is a physical type of the spiritual Eden of God. And the spiritual Eden of God is the church of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hey, hallelujah. Because commission. Adam was supposed to reproduce and replenish. He was to bring forth after himself, after his kind. Adam was to repopulate the earth with more Adams. Am I correct? More children of God. That was his commission. And have dominion over all creation. And to fulfill that, oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. You have to understand that. If not, you will not understand the serpent seed doctrine. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because as it is in the Garden of Eden, so it is also in the church. And man, hallelujah, remember, first and foremost, man was created in the image of God. Am I correct? Genesis 1:26. Let us create man in our image. And so, every child that was born of Adam was supposed to be a reflection of the image of God. And the second commission was to replenish. The second thing is the commission to replenish. And for Adam to reproduce himself, Adam cannot reproduce himself. Remember, if you look at creation, when Adam was created, hallelujah, when Adam was created, Adam was created, he was both male and female within himself. Am I correct? That's Bible. But while he is still male and female within himself, he cannot reproduce himself. Therefore, to make him to be able to reproduce himself, God caused him to sleep. And from his side, he brought out the rib and formed the woman. So the woman was actually a part of Adam in the first creation. But she was brought out so that and given the sexual organs, the reproductive organs, for the purpose of procreation, for the purpose of reproduction. That is the main reason Eve was created. And of course, we know the second reason was for companionship, so that he can have fellowship, have somebody like him that he can have fellowship with. But now, you will now notice that Eve now was the center of attraction. Now, the Bible referred to Adam as, Jesus Christ as the last Adam. Am I correct? Because Adam is a similitude of he that is to come. Romans 5:14. It was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ that was to come. So, if you will understand the Garden of Eden, it will help you to also understand the Church of Jesus Christ. Because God left, he was separated from man. He lost man. He had to start a new creation. He has to recreate a new group of people, new group of children for himself. The same thing he will do. The Bible referred to Jesus Christ in Colossians chapter 1 verse 15. He said, Christ Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Am I correct? He's the image of the invisible God. And when Christ was born through the virgin birth, hallelujah, he was the only true Son of God on earth. Now, if Christ has to reproduce himself, remember, all that pertained to whatever will be fulfilled in Christ was in himself. The church, Christ needed the church to be the woman that he too, with through that church, reproduce more Christ. Then you'll understand the scripture in Romans chapter 8 verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, him he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his dear son, that he, Jesus Christ, might be the firstborn among many brethren. That is who Jesus Christ is. He is the firstborn. And all of us, our destiny is to be like Jesus. But he cannot fulfill it while he was on earth, while he was alone. And see, the same way that Adam's wife was brought out from him, then you'll understand why the Bible says, while he was hanging on the cross, that Roman soldier, he took a spear. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When a woman is to give birth to a child, what is the first thing that comes out? Say it if you know it. Okay, women will know it. Water first comes out. After water, what will follow? Blood will come out. After blood, what happens? The life will come out. And so you understand that the cross of Calvary, when that Roman soldier took that spear, he had other places to choke. Why did he choke his side? And the Bible says, as he choke his side, what came out? Water and blood. That's what the Bible says. Water and blood came out. Adam was put to sleep so that his wife can be formed. Christ was also put to sleep so that the church can be born. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You have to catch that so that you will understand Ephesians chapter 4, chapter 1 verse 4, and Colossians also chapter 1 verse 9, that we are chosen in him, Jesus, before the foundation of the world. And it's true. Hallelujah. Because, oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Do you know the New Testament told us, see the years gap between when Levi was born and when, you know, the story of Abraham, before Isaac was born. Hundreds of years apart. The Bible says that when Abraham, in Genesis 14, I think, met with Melchizedek, he paid tithe to him. Apostle Paul told us that Levi was in the loins of Abraham, and that Levi also paid tithe in Abraham. Because all the predestinated seed of Abraham, they were in him. While he was in the womb of his mother, the children that will come out through Abraham, they were in him. They were only multiplying and multiplying and multiplying and multiplying and multiplying into generations and generations and generations. All of them traceable to Abraham. So also we, when Christ was moving there, you were in him. I was in him. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's what that scripture says, that we are chosen in him before the foundation of the world. And that is the mystery that we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We read it from verse 6 to verse 16. And Colossians chapter 1, verse 26 and verse 27, that tells us of the mystery that is hidden from the foundation of the world, but now revealed to his servants. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. You can also understand the position of Christ in the new creation. In the new creation. Because God's new creation starts with the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you understand the scriptures that begin to refer to Jesus Christ, as we see in Revelation chapter 1 verse 5, refer to Jesus Christ as the first begotten of the dead. Jesus Christ among the children of God that were all dead and gone, that he was going to begin from the dead and bring them back to life, Jesus Christ is the first begotten of the dead. Revelation chapter 3 verse 14 tells us that Jesus Christ is the beginning of the creation of God. Now these things we are saying, they are deep, so you have to pay attention and ask the Holy Ghost to help you understand. He is the beginning of the creation of God. But we will have thought that the beginning of the creation of God is Adam. No, it's not a new creation. The first creation has been perverted, has been damaged through the serpent seed. Satan has taken over. He has to make a new creation. Then we understand Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, where the Bible referred to the Lord Jesus Christ as the first and the last. When the Bible says, introduce Jesus Christ, was introducing himself and said, I'm the first and the last. He doesn't expatiate there. The first of what and the last of what? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. He's the first because Colossians chapter 1 verse 17 says, he is before all things. Can Abraham at that time say, I'm sorry, Adam, will he stand and tell all human beings on earth that I am the first? Can he say I am the first? He could have said he's the first. Is he not the first man God created? He's the first. Adam was the first man. So Adam could have referred to him as, referred to himself as the first. But he is not the last. Because there's going to be a last Adam. Hallelujah. So Jesus Christ, in the new creation, he is the first and he is the last. There will be none again after him. The problem that started in the Garden of Eden is going to end with Jesus Christ. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. That's why he is the first and the last. That's why the Bible refers to him. He is the Alpha and Omega. That is the A to Z. He's the beginning and the ending. And Apostle Paul referred to him as the author and finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. In Ephesians chapter 1, if you read it from verse 7 to verse 14, I'm giving you these scriptures. Time cannot allow us read and read and read. But go home and read it. Meditate on it prayerfully, and God will even give you more understanding than me, even me preaching here. Verse 7 to verse 14 of Ephesians chapter 1. The emphasis there that I catch is that the Bible is saying that all things, God has determined that all things will be gathered together in Christ. All will be gathered together in Christ. Hallelujah. The similitude of one that is to come, Adam, is from him God was starting a new creation. That's why in Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6 is referred to as the everlasting father, because we all came out from him, from Jesus. If you are born again, hallelujah, he is the everlasting father. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 45. You are looking for that scripture that says Christ is referred to as the last Adam. And Hebrew, that is Hebrew chapter 2. If you read it in verse 10, the Bible emphasizes by whom Jesus Christ. He said by whom are all things. Can we read it? Hebrew chapter 2. I like to emphasize something there. Verse 10, it says, for it became him for whom are all things. That is, all things are for him, Jesus Christ. These things here, we're talking about the creation of God. You and me. He said, for it became him for whom are all things, and by whom, are all things, because all things came by him. In doing what? In bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. The emphasis there is that it was in him to bring many sons unto glory. Adam was to bring many of his sons, his children, unto glory, but he failed because of what happened in the Garden of Eden. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And how are we born again? You are part of the family of Christ because you are born again. You are born again. And I've taught something about the new birth. When I used the analogy of use, I stood up somebody to ask, and I can ask all of you too, how did you become a member of your family? How did you become a member of your family? Brother Tony, what's your surname? Brother Tony, your surname is Onoha. What's the meaning of Onoha? The man that is what? Eh?
Give him microphone.
The man that did what? That all do. Oh, the mouth that speak for all. That's Onoha. Okay, that's your family name. Give him microphone. Now, I ask a simple question. Onoha is your family name? Onoha is your family name?
Yes, sir.
Now, did you plan to be an Onoha?
Never at all.
If you had your choice, will you be Onoha?
At all.
If you had your choice, which name will you have come from?
Okay, I could have been American.
You will have, your family name would have been Clinton.
Yeah,
something like that.
Or Bush.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It's okay. Let me not go that way now. Now, how did you become an Onoha? Did you join that family?
No.
How did you become an Onoha?
By birth. Yes, I hear the blood of that family. Onoha.
You were born into that family.
Yes, sir.
That made you a member of that family.
Yes, sir.
Anybody who is not born into that family, can he answer Onoha?
He cannot.
Hallelujah. This is where many of us don't even understand salvation. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 13 says, by one spirit are we baptized into the body of Christ. How can you be part of the body of Christ? By being baptized into it. And that baptism is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So that, I have emphasized it before, you are not a Christian. You are not born again if you have not yet received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Somebody can just come to Onoha. Stand up, give him microphone. Somebody can just come to your family. And somebody who wants to be part of your family, you can just, your father, maybe your father just one day, he calls you. Tony, come. Today I want to make you my son. Say after me. From now on, Father, I'll follow you. Now here I go to sleep. Now food I go to chop. Now you are going to obey now. Have you said it? Did you say it? Do you believe it? Now you are born again.
It's not possible.
You are not Onoha.
It's not possible.
Amen. It's not possible. It's a wrong teaching. Say after me. You want to give your life to Christ? Stand up. Come to the altar. Say after me. Father, from today, I won't thief again. I won't fornicate again. From today, I believe it's for my sake. You went to the cross of Calvary. I believe. Did you say it? And the preacher under anointing is saying, you see, salvation is very simple. Salvation is very simple. If salvation is very simple, did you say it? You believe in your heart, you confess in your mouth, you are born again. Just look for a good Bible church and attend. Then you come out. Where are you going, Tony? I'm born again. When did you get born again? Yesterday for church. I'm born again. If born again is so easy, why women still they suffer for conception? If it's so easy to get children, praise the Lord. That is a wrong picture of salvation. And people think they are Christians when they have not even gone near the cross of Calvary. That will help you understand the doctrine of predestination. There's a process you undergo to be born again. And the process ends in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It starts with that decision from your heart and a confession in your mouth to give your life to Christ. But everybody, Jick and Jack, can come and give his life to Christ. Cain can come and claim to be the son of Adam. Because they are confused, they look alike. Adam can look at them, it's true, these people, they resemble themselves. And then think that they are all his children. But God knows who is who. Praise the Lord. God knows who is who. And that woman also knows who be the father of this one. See, every woman knows the father of her child. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You see, somebody was, one of these comedians was trying to give interpretation, what do you call it? The difference between knowledge and faith. He wants to define faith, knowledge and faith. He said that the child that the woman is carrying at the back, the child that is carrying at the back, he said, the man will look at the child and say, this is my son. And the reason he said this is my son is because, I mean, facial, everything you can see physically, this is my son. He said, for a man to point to a child in the back of his wife and say, this is my child, he said, that is knowledge. He said, but for a man to point and look at a pregnant woman and say, that is my child in her womb, he said, that is faith. Because it may not be your child. It will take faith for you to claim it. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. We are part of Christ, brethren. We are part of Christ. We are part of Him. Part of Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, I keep saying this. We have the church. The church is a type of Eve. That's why in the Bible, church is typed as a woman. There are three women in the Bible. In the New Testament, symbolic women, they are described symbolically. We have Revelation chapter 19 referred to the bride has made herself ready. That's the bride. That is the first woman. The second woman is in Revelation chapter 17. Revelation chapter 17 is referred to as the harlot and the mother of harlots. And also Revelation chapter 12 and Revelation chapter 17 is the Catholic Church. If you are from a Catholic church, no vex. The Bible talk up. And Revelation make us understand it. And Revelation chapter 12, the woman there in Revelation chapter 12 is Israel. So, the church is referred to as, is given the feminine gender. Taking us back to the Garden of Eden. That the woman, Eve there, is a type of the church of Jesus Christ. And we have Jesus Christ as the bridegroom and the church as the bride. The bridegroom arranging a marriage. We talk of a spiritual marriage that is taking place. That's what Revelation 19 says, the bride has made herself ready. Who is the bridegroom? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. The bride is waiting for the groom to come and take her home. Am I correct? He has paid the bride price. He has gone to prepare a place. He's coming to take the bride home. Now, this same setting, listen. But before Adam could meet with his wife. Hallelujah. Before Adam could meet with his wife, Satan had already gone in through the serpent and exploited the womb of that woman and planted his seed there and defiled that woman before Adam, the groom, could come and meet her as a husband and wife. You have to understand that. Remember that the woman is referred to as the weaker vessel. That is what 1 Peter chapter 3, I think verse 7, tells us men to treat them like the weaker vessels. When they say they are weak in everything, physically, in every aspect, they are weak. Emotionally, they are weaker than the men. Physically, they are weaker than the, although there are some women that beat even their husbands. Now you know that's not a normal woman. I'm talking about the normal woman. It's part of the serpent seed thing that is, you know, that crept in. And but a proper Christian woman lives a life of subjection, knowing that she is the weaker vessel. Hallelujah. So now you see the reason why Eve was the target of Satan, not Adam. It couldn't go to Adam, because if he had gone to Adam, he will not succeed. That is one reason. But more importantly, the purpose for coming to that family will not be fulfilled in Adam. Remember, the purpose is he wants to plant his seed there also. So, Adam, you are going to plant your seed here. Me too. I will plant my own evil seed there too. That is all he wanted to do. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Of course, that can only be done through God's commission to reproduce and for it to come to pass. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And it is only through Christ, I've emphasized the same thing, only through the church that Christ can also multiply himself. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Reproduction comes by planting the seed. That sperm cell is the seed. As little as it is planted in the womb, and the law of nature begins to play, and the child is eventually born. It comes with the planting of a seed. And now you understand where the mystery now begins. So that you'll understand why the church is in the condition that she's in now. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. This is explained from two angles I have quickly that we can look at. The language Apostle Paul uses in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's open it. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm just taking it slow. I just want you to catch this thing. You have to catch it. So that you know why you must be born again. Secondly, by what I am saying, you will now know that it's not every church a Christian can attend. That's all I want to prove. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Hear what he says. See the language that he says. From verse 2, Apostle Paul is telling the church at Corinth, "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband." He's talking to the church. "As a virgin that is espoused to someone, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve," he went back to the Garden of Eden, "through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." The same way he was warning the church, the same way the serpent beguiled Eve. How did the serpent beguile Eve? Verse 4. That is how he did it. "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus," that is where the thing is, "whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel